Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning in the 25th verse. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
A lot happened on that first Easter Sunday. The resurrection, all the sightings of Jesus during the day, that evening coming to them as they were gathered together, when he ate a piece of fish, and of course, what we read in today's gospel lesson. These are all stories that are more or less familiar to us. We have heard them before in sermons and Bible class. Have we ever put them together in one consistent story? It would be a good exercise for us, but that's not what we're going to take a look at today. Because there is a single, consistent story that's even bigger than that first Easter. Except that at the same time, it's all about that first Easter. Those 3 days that upended everything humanity thought about, they knew about God. It's the overarching story of Scripture, the Bible story. Oh, there are plenty of subplots. Creation, the fall, the flood, the Exodus, the Babylonian captivity, and more until we get to the birth of Jesus. It is in these stories, in fact, all of the Old Testament, that we see that the one underlying unifying purpose is to take us to the cross. We could work up a list of some of the scripture references that Jesus might have used on that walk to Emmaus. That would be an interesting project. But it almost misses the point. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, they already knew all that. And if one of them were walking along to Emmaus too, they probably could have checked everything off their list of memory verses. But knowing the facts about the coming Messiah didn't really do them much good, did it? Because they missed that Jesus came to save sinners. No, they were expecting a Messiah that came to reward them for doing what they'd already done. You know, keep the rules, refine the rules, make them harder to keep. After all, they were the professional rule keepers. They wouldn't want any tax collector or other sinners getting rewarded. It was all about the rules, wasn't it? About God's law. Oh, the law has its place, that's for sure. But from the moment God shed the blood of an animal to cover the nakedness of the man and the woman, God's purpose had been focused on the cross. It has been about crushing Satan's head and putting an end to death so that we can live. Do you remember the Exodus? The law has been the dark cloud that shrivels up our old nature. But it also lights our path through the sea of baptism into, the wilderness. The wilderness, where we would starve, except for the bread from heaven. Where we would die of thirst, except for the rock that was struck, that we might live. The wilderness that we will finally get through and enter into rest. Into the rest Jesus prepared for us. You see, you can see Jesus in this story, can't you? We are intended to. This is what Jesus was explaining on the road to Emmaus. And so much more. Stories that the disciples had heard all their lives. Stories that the Pharisees could recite backwards. Weren't just stories anymore. The prophecies were true, and the things that didn't make sense were beginning to. The Messiah was a king that would reign forever, wasn't he? Then why would he die? And how could he still live? And what does it mean for me? And does it take your breath away? These disciples rushed back to Jerusalem from Emmaus. I can almost hear them say, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" They knew so much now. The long-awaited promise had been fulfilled. It was the end of a long wait. It was just the beginning. The revelation of Christ in Scripture did not end on that Sunday evening with the breaking of bread in Emmaus. No, all of Scripture takes us to the cross. Paul wrote, "For Jews demand a sign, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles." Much of the book of Hebrews is to explain to us some of the ways Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul points to where the law was pointing us all along. He writes, "Love never ends. For as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." And until that moment comes, and we can say, right along with Job, "For I know my Redeemer lives, and I at last will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." We remain the children of God. And what do children do? We learn. Sometimes through good instruction, sometimes we learn things the hard way. So, as dearly loved children, let us learn and relearn this marvelous story that we have heard. It is real history. It is sound advice for living. It is in these things and more. But it is most of all the path to the cross, to the grave, and to the skies. First for our Lord and Savior, and then for us. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.